Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo Caro, and I am your co-host for today's show. If you'd like to hear any of our other shows in Spanish, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to our sister show, Expressate. If you'd like to revisit this show or any of the other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit our kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It and Expressate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. Have any questions or any feedback? We'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer free community service training courses, which are open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. You can give us a call at 442-265-7442 to find out about any of our upcoming classes. If you'd like to stay connected with us, follow us on Facebook, Spotify, or Instagram. Give us a like, a care, or just follow us to stay up to date with any of our wellness resources and any of our upcoming events. With all that said, I'm going to introduce you to my co-host, Berenice Flint, who will introduce you to today's guest.
Thank you, Patricia. Welcome to our listeners. We have a very interesting show for today. And without further ado, I would like to introduce to you our guest. We are honored to have Dr. Ng, who is the director of Sun Valley Behavioral and Sun Valley Research Center, who is going to talk to us about a very important topic. It's a topic that I believe we all go through. We at some point in our lives, whether it is personally, whether it is work-related, but our topic for today is managing change and stress. And so Dr. E is going to talk to us about different topics related to managing change and managing stress. And so, Dr. E, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for having me. It's been a while. I see the hosts have changed since the last time I participated in this show. I'm very happy to see that behavioral health has continued doing this work. I think that on the first line of prevention and treatment for any health-related issues, and especially for mental health-related issues, is to be educated. And that's what you guys do. So congratulations on how many years by now?
I want to say it's been over 20.
Two decades. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Man, it's also a while since I came. So, okay, change and stress.
And before we get to the topic, Doctor.
Oh, yes.
I would like for you to share with us and with our audience a little bit more about yourself.
Sure.
You are.
Okay. I'm a physician. I'm a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, in order to become a psychiatrist, you have to go, to get your undergraduate degree and then go for your MD and then go for your specialty training, which in my case, it all added up around 14 years after high school. So we are medical doctors that specialize in the illnesses and disorders of the brain and the mind. And that's what I've been doing for three decades now. I came here to Imperial County in 1993. Actually, I worked for your agency in the first year. And then after that it inspired me to come here full time and started both Sun Valley Behavioral in 1998 and Sun Valley Research Center in 2008. So I'm proudly born in Mexicali. So I'm like a lot of the people that work and live here. I'm of Chinese background, also very proud of that. That's no surprise if you live in this valley. That's me.
Very well. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the wealth of knowledge that you're going to be sharing with us today with regards to this topic. And as I mentioned earlier, right, we're going to talk about how to manage change and stress. And I think one of the things that's really important is, again, we all go through it at different stages in our lives. And it is really important that we recognize that change is a natural part of life, and how we adapt, how we manage change and stress really can make a huge difference in our lives. So go ahead, doctor, if you want to get started.
Sure. Well, yes. So change, I'm going to ask you to think about the Lion King movie. When the ape tells him change is good. So change is good. Change is part of life. Most of us live in this ambivalence because we want to have things under control, you know, have a routine. And then once we are too long into it, it becomes monotone or boring, and then we want change. Sometimes change doesn't necessarily go as expected. Sometimes change comes when we don't expect it, and that's probably when it can cause stress. So stress is something that in itself is neither good nor bad. It is it actually comes from the field of physics. Stress is the force that matter receives, like metal, and you know, forces on nature impose pressure on different materials, and different materials handle it in different ways. That's also how we learn the word resilience. Okay, so for example, there are some materials that when they go under pressure, they break. There are some materials that when they go under pressure, they change their shape. They pick another form. And some of them, once the pressure is stopped or relieved, they recover their original form. And that's what we call resilience. So we have different levels of resilience. And how do we build resilience depends on our genetics, on our level of education, nutrition, things like that. So sometimes stress can break us, but sometimes stress can make us. Actually, if you go over the biographies of a lot of successful people in different fields, financing, science, politics, education, they've been through a lot of stress in their lives, and they've done well. They've actually become stronger or smarter due to stress. Not everybody handles stress the same way. And there are some levels of stress that are so humongous that even the most qualified or the strongest person can explode or break from stress. So the secret here of how to manage stress has to do with how what we do with it, right? So that's like the old saying, you get lemons, make lemonade. And it's easier said than done, because sometimes it's very hard to come out with that lemonade. Mm-hmm. Or it comes out too strong or too sour or too sweet or too watery because we don't get it right, right? But my first invitation here is don't be afraid of stress, because you cannot hide from it, right? It's better that you learn on how to deal with it, right? And When you find yourself in a stressful situation, and it's getting the best of you, you feel scared, you feel trapped, and we forget what are the things that we did to get there. We frequently feel so absorbed or so attacked by the stress that we think it just came on us. Like, we didn't ask for it. It just hit us, and we didn't see it coming. But if you sit down, which is very hard in the moments of stress, take a deep breath and start analyzing the days prior to or the weeks prior to how bad you're feeling right now, there are things that one does that actually gets you there. And of course, I'm not talking about excessive stress like traumatic events. I'm counting those out. For example, that there is a earthquake and you're trapped and your house or the building you're at gets destroyed and you end up injured or harmed. Well, I'm not talking about that. Or your house catches fire, or you're just minding your own business, walking out of Walmart, and someone attacks you and assaults you. I'm not talking about that, because actually those are, we call them traumatic experiences, and they can drive you to have other kinds of disorders that we can always talk about it in a different program. But I'm talking about day-to-day stress that can be very annoying and very debilitating. And as you mentioned, it could be related to work. It could be related to school, you know, those who are students. It could be related to your life at home with your partner, your significant other, or with your children. I mean, parenting is a very demanding activity. It could be with your neighbors, if you got a bad neighbor, right? So the main manifestations could be mental, but they can also be physical. And this is very interesting. People think of stress as it automatically is going to cause mental symptoms. And what symptoms is going to cause in a given person has to do with how we're built, right? There are some of us, for example, that have a very sensitive skin. And stress hits you with rashes, your hair falls, your lips are dry, or you bump into a table or something and you have a black mark right away, and those could be the signs of stress. Or if you're somehow, the way your body is built, stress is manifested in your digestive system. You know, with indigestion, with acid reflux, with constipation, with diarrhea. And I can go on and on, right? The heart, it could be the heart, it could be headaches, it could be migraines. And of course, it could also be mental symptoms like insomnia, constant worry. You just cannot stop thinking about what's going to go wrong. You start, we have a word for it, catastrophizing, that everything's going to end up with the worst possible result. You can be tired, unable to concentrate. And those tend to be the first symptoms that, depending on the duration, the intensity, and the number of symptoms, you can actually develop a psychiatric disorder.
Okay, which is really important, right? This topic is super important, to be able to identify at the onset of these symptoms, to be able to recognize that the level of stress that you're experiencing or how these symptoms are manifesting, either somatically.
Yes, and the reason why I mentioned the somatic part is because sometimes your friend or your spouse can tell you, wow, you sound stressed, and you say, no, I'm fine. I'm sleeping well and all that. But then it turns out your blood pressure is going up, right? Mm-hmm. And your last checkup, or your cholesterol is up, or you've gained some pounds that you never had before, and suddenly you don't notice that last 3 months you gained 10 pounds. It's like, hey, what's happening? But you say you're fine, right? You mentally, you feel okay, but it could be manifesting in the body. Yes.
So in some of those ways, could you say that stress is good?
Totally. Definitely. It's the key is that you identify it, like Bernice just said, and you act on it. Ignoring it is the worst way to handle it, right? I'm fine. Everything is okay. No, it's trying to figure out what's happening. You can actually use it in your favor. It's like the jujitsu technique, right? The force is coming at you. You learn where to turn or how to move so that you go with the force. You use the force in your favor instead of against you, right? So, for example, you have an issue with a coworker or a supervisor that they're giving you a verbal warning, right? Because you went off protocol or you showed up late or something. The most common reaction is to be quiet, suck it in, right? And say nothing about it. Well, you know, it's not a bad idea to, okay, well, tell me, why are you giving me this warning? How can I avoid another one? What am I, you know, where can I improve things? Let me know, you know, getting onto the issue, right? Because what you don't want is to realize that you need to have this conversation when you already had two verbal warnings and a writing warning now, right? And then it becomes, the stress grew at that point, right? Or, as I said, parenting, which is very, very demanding. It's always been hard, but I think it's harder these days. And especially with children in puberty and adolescence, and you suspect that your son or daughter may be smoking marijuana, for example. And that's very stressful and scary. You should be concerned about that. But then you're afraid of bringing it up because it turns out that your son or daughter get angry at the first question or at the first. Well, that's something is going on already. If you cannot talk to your children because they get angry at you and you stay quiet, something's wrong already, right? So the first thing is to not ignore the elephant in the room, right? And how to go about it? Well, you know, it's hard to give one specific recipe here, but what I can tell you is what we call self-care measures, right? Or lifestyle measures. It has become increasingly important what we now call lifestyle medicine. And I say not now because it's been going on for at least 10 years that we've come back to realize that it's not all about medications and surgeries and shots and pills, right? That there's this thing that we call lifestyle measures or lifestyle medicine that have to do with not being sedentary, right? I mean, make sure a lot of us have jobs where we sit down all day. That's not good. And then we go home and we sit down the rest of the day. Because you're relaxing now from sitting down all day. Relax taking a walk, right? Relax, get on a bicycle and go for a ride. Relax that way. So that's one thing. In fact, I have a project that I named Project DS, which is Defeating Sedentarism. And I'll tell you later on, I'm on TikTok and Instagram telling people about why is it good for your mental health to not be sedentary. So that's the first one. The other one is nutrition, right? You know that processed foods, not all of them, but most processed foods cause a level of inflammation. I mean, they're delicious. I love hot dogs and corn dogs and stuff like that. But you should have less of that and more what they call now fresh food or natural food. So combine that. So you decrease the level of inflammation so that your joints, your muscles, and your brain don't get toxic. Because stress causes inflammation. And then if you also eat, and it's funny because the body asks for that, right? You feel stress and the first thing you think about is a pizza, a hot dog, carbs. Yes. And that's what causes more inflammation. That's one. And the other one is to allow yourself enough hours of sleep, okay? Enough hours of sleep. So you try to relax. Everybody has a large TV in their bedroom, and they go to streaming channels and say, this is just for me to relax and watch something before I go to sleep. And next thing you know, you're 3 hours hooked to the screen, and you robbed those 3 hours from your sleeping hours. So that's another one. And finally, be careful with the use of substances. There's nothing wrong if you had a terrible day that you go home or you stop somewhere to have a drink. Or now for adults, it's legal to use cannabis, you know, to use some gummies or to have a smoke in the idea of relaxing. Well, okay, you're celebrating something special, but when it comes to the fact that you need to have gummies every night or else you don't sleep, something's wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. So those four measures, defeat sedentarism, eat less processed food, give yourself that gift of enough hours for sleep, and very judicious, limited use of substances.
That's really important. And those are really good guidelines to follow that we should, and they're not that difficult, honestly. I mean, you know, to eat good food is not that hard, but sometimes we grab, you know, on the way.
What's closest to you. Yes.
Exactly. We grab the fast food or we grab, and I'm not knocking fast food. I'm not saying anything about it, but it's easier sometimes instead of taking the time to put together a salad.
And they're ready to eat. It's hard because they're ready to eat, right? You stop to go through a drive-thru, and in less than 10 minutes, you can already put something in your mouth that's delicious. Mm-hmm. Not healthy, but delicious, right?
And we go into this instant gratification, right?
Oh, yes. Because
problem.
You had a stressful day.
Exactly.
And you need something to help you get out of that stress mode.
Right. And we have such an easy access to fast food or to things that are not very healthy. So, you know, it doesn't help.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but it's on every corner. And, you know, like we're saying, it was easily accessible. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult for that. So if we have a family member or a significant other or, you know, like they say, work wife or work husband or work buddy, and you see them start, you know, stressing out and you see them, is there something that we could do or say that we could, you know, maybe help them bring down their stress level? Or is there something that how we can maybe, you know, just do
something?
Yeah,
and you know, whatever I say is probably going to sound easier than it really is, right, when it comes to that. Because how do you tell your wife or your husband, hey, honey, you know, recently I've seen you stressed out. Don't tell me that. I know what's happening. And boop, end of conversation, right? So the recommendation is that you prepare the conversation, right? You know what? I mean, don't lie, right? But say, I love you. If you love your person, I love you and I care for you. And I'm going to tell you something you're not going to like. But I'm worried because you're waking up in the middle of the night. Every night you seem stressed, tense. You really, you know, we used to do these things on weekends or on Wednesday nights, and you're so focus at work and you don't seem to be enjoying it. I want to bring it up, however you want to go about it, but I think you should do something about it. And if you don't know where to go or you haven't thought about it, I can help you, right? Figure out what to do. Something like that. I'm not, again, it's not like it's going to go right just because you do it the way I said it. But the point is, put it on the table, make it part of the conversation, and introduce it in the sense that you're doing it because you care for that person.
Yeah, and from what I'm hearing, Doctor, what you're saying is finding the right time to bring this conversation up.
Yeah, but don't, you know, you're touching on something very important. There's never a good time for that, yeah. Right? Because holding on to speaking up is also a challenge, because when the person is stressed out, it's never going to go well that they bring it up to you because you're so stressed out,
mm-hmm.
right? So, do the best you can to pick the right time, but don't be surprised that it's going to come out as not the best time to do it, because when times get hard because of that, usually the person is already very closed up, isolated, and easy to get irritated, right? So it's going to be a more likely than not a difficult conversation.
Well, I think this is a really good time to take a brief commercial break. And we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Bernardo Ng, who's a psychiatrist, the medical director of Sun Valley Behavioral and Sun Valley Research. We'll be back in just a minute.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back. We are excited to be joined by our guest today, Dr. Ng, who is a psychiatrist and director of Sun Valley Behavioral and Sun Valley Research. Dr. Ng, thank you for joining us, and we are going to get back to it with our topic today about managing stress or managing change and stress. And so we were talking about before the break, we were having a conversation about, you know, what are some of the things that happen when we have stress in our lives, how they manifest in our body, how we often deal with or can deal with stress and the consequences of these. And so we wanted to continue having this conversation now. I know you talked about some of the symptoms, signs and symptoms that people can present when they have high stress. And so I would like to talk a little bit more about what we can do to better manage our stress. As we mentioned earlier, stress and change is part of life. Right, whether it is at work, whether it is personally, whether it is in relationships, any change within our life can create an impact, and it could be something as minimal as moving or as changing employment or a separation, a divorce, or empty nesters. Right, life changes can happen. Menopause.
Well, actually, even good things can be stressful.
Absolutely.
Like getting married, for example, preparing a wedding can be stressful. Graduating, you got your undergraduate degree and now you realize that you were accepted for a master's degree, but it's in another state. And you have to move and figure out housing, income, traveling. Even a vacation can be stressful, depending
very
who you're going
so.
With, right?
It's very true.
So stress doesn't only come from bad things, right? Because so basically any activity that you're doing that surpasses or overrides your usual habits, your routines, is stressful. How you deal with it is what can make you literally sick, right? So we talked about, it could be your heart or your stomach, or your skin or your mind, the one that starts showing symptoms. And the first thing here is, go see your doctor, right? That's the first thing. Check, make sure that, something is not turning into an actual disease, right? And if the doctor tells you, you know what, your exam is good, your lab work came back okay, you are going through stress, but you haven't developed any illness yet. Okay, so, And the doctor might tell you, take it easy, take a break, go work out, eat better, or see a therapist, see a counselor, or go to the gym. So, you know, you and your doctor will try to figure out which way to go. Might give you medication for the headaches, and or, you know, or probably at that point you identify, you know what, I've been wanting to buy this house and the loan has not been approved, and there are other buyers. I my offer may not be accepted, and then when you start noticing that there's more to it, right? For example, if the doctor says, well, what happens if you don't buy that house? Another house will come by. No, because that house, or maybe because I've been refused so many times from getting a loan, something is wrong with me. Maybe it's a good idea to see a counselor or a therapist, because there may be other issues from the past that are being awakened because of the current situation, right? And in general, going to see a therapist or one of us, I tell people, it's like, you know how to work out, but you're not getting the results that you expected. Well, you hire a trainer, right? So you've been taking your measures to deal with stress, working out, sleeping better, even breathing techniques, like, you know, now you can find on YouTube breathing relaxation techniques, how to do them, like square breathing or breathing relaxation like how they do it in yoga or other disciplines. And you've been trying that already, which helps a lot, by the way. Breathing has been studied a lot about how to reduce tension, reduce heart rate, reduce blood pressure. It's very valuable. But let's say you've already been doing that and it's not working. And then when you see a mental health professional, it doesn't automatically mean that you're going to have a diagnosis of a disorder, right? I mean, healthy people go to a trainer like after a surgery or something, and you need to recover the strength of your muscles. By the same token, you can go see a therapist. And we have what we call stress management techniques, right? Mm-hmm. One of them is probably the most commonly used, that is based on cognitive therapy technique, which is, you know, be very frank and very honest about listing the pros and cons of this project that you want to engage on, right? Like buying that house. Maybe it's not the right, you know, once you go through that evaluation, you may find out that it may not be the right time to buy a house. Because, yes, you calculated that you can make the payment, but it turns out that because of your credit history, your payments are going to be higher than you expected. And that means putting yourself through the next 5 years having to work overtime. That's not the right way. I mean, you're buying yourself stress already just by doing that, right? So sometimes talking to a third party, someone who's neutral, because, for example, let's say I'm the one buying that house because I want to surprise my wife with that. I don't want to disappoint her, right? We've been together 10 years, and I've been working hard, and we've both been saving and keeping ourselves from, spending money on other things because we want that. And suddenly we're facing with the fact that we're going to have to wait another year. And I feel really bad about that. Mm-hmm. So discussing that with your wife is not the best person because she has a lot of feelings invested on that too. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's better to speak to the third party who will be very objective on evaluating the pros and cons, and not necessarily giving up on your plans or your dreams or your projects, but planning it more strategically. And just by doing that, it can reduce your level of stress significantly and still achieve your dreams, right? That's what we try to do.
Some of the things that you mentioned, you know, that we can do, like the deep breathing, those are the things that we can do to help ourselves. And like you said, there's a lot of YouTube and probably TikTok and who knows what other social media platform there is. But I think that sometimes it's hard for us to recognize that we're under stress. And like we had talked in the segment earlier, you know, you may need to have a significant other kind of tell you, hey, honey, we need to take it down a notch. You need to lower your stress and, you know, let's go for a walk and let's do that. And sometimes it may be hard to interject that because the person is so stressed as it is. And, you know, you're afraid that they're going to, like you said, blow up. So, you know, we kind of need to find a happy medium and, you know, maybe even suggest professional help, like you had mentioned. But mm-hmm. when someone wants to do that, you know, I guess the best ways to do that is to seek professional help from like your agency, from Sun Valley Behavioral or from Imperial County Behavioral Health or any other agency that's here in the Valley. And, so, you know, how would someone start to go about that? I mean,
yeah, that's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. And I do want to say that, from the time that I first got here, we have way more services than, I mean, it's good news that we have more services. I think, they're never enough, especially we've always go back and talk about the pandemic, how the need for more mental health services exploded since then. But with that said, one of the steps to go about this is, so let's say you're the spouse of this wife or husband who is under stress. What I would do is do my research and find out based on whatever insurance coverage we have as a family, you know, what would be the services, what are the steps to get services, call your insurance company, call us, you can call us, we can give you information about, you know, what services we provide. Start walking the walk, right, first. And then be ready because the conversation may actually go better than you expected, and your husband or wife say, okay, well, you know, that's not a bad idea, but how do we go about it? I got the number here, right? This is the place. Let's call and make an appointment. And in that moment, tell your loved one, and I'm going to go with you. I'm going to walk with you together on this one project, like we've had many others. Or if it's your son or your daughter, you know, I'll be with you until you tell me that you're comfortable doing it alone, right? And this is, we men do it more than women say, okay, just give me the number and I'll call, right? And then the conversation ends there. And you say, well, okay, well, and then the last message is, okay, I'm going to ask you tomorrow or I'm going to ask you in 3 days if you really did it or not, right? So offer that other person that you're going to be there with them, until they get this done, right? Don't just say, oh, you know what? You are terrible. I cannot even talk to you. Go get help. And then that's the end of the conversation. It's very hard for it to get somewhere, right? So be ready, prepare yourself. Behavioral health, we have, you guys have clinics throughout the county, right? And then you say, okay, there's one here. No, I don't want to go there because they know me. Okay, well, we got another one in the next town, right? We're going to be able to do that. So, and probably I'd like to close with that. There is a lot of stigma about, seeking help with a mental health professional. Fortunately, I see the new generations less worried about that than how we are the older generation, mm-hmm. right? So I think I insist on how good is it that you keep doing this program so that the audience, people out there in the community, can hear us and get a sense that, you know, we're health professionals and we don't have any magic to read your mind. Walking into any of our clinics doesn't mean that you're going to end up disabled or lose your freedom because now you're seeing a mental health professional. So I hope that if someone tells you that you appear more stressed than usual and it is affecting your health or it's affecting your home environment and you're invited to do something about it, that you accept the help.
And that's really important because it's accepting the help and the stigma. Like I always tell people, you know, you think nothing about going to see your endocrinologist if you have diabetes. Think nothing about going to see a cardiologist if you have heart problems. It's a difference. It's the same thing. You know, you're going to seek, and you know, you may not see the doctor. You may not see a nurse practitioner. You may not see a clinician. You may see somebody else, but it's still going to get the help that you need, because if you need it, you know, it's probably affecting your family. It's probably affecting, you know, your work life, your home life, everything else. So there's nothing wrong with going out and seeking help. And especially because like your clinic, your agents, your Sun Valley Behavioral, you have the ability to help people there. And all the services are confidential. So, you know, some people get kind of, oh, you know, my neighbor's going to find out. No.
Yeah. And they are as confidential as they are. I mean, for example, infectious disease doctors treat people with HIV. That's confidential too, right? Mm-hmm. Gynecologists treat women who are infertile. That's confidential too. Right. Or oncologists treat people who have cancer. That's confidential too. Only the patient is going to disclose it to whoever they want to disclose it. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. You go for stress to see one of us, and if it turns out that you actually did develop a disorder because you waited too long or because your insomnia went on and now you have another condition, it's going to be up to you who you disclose that to.
So with that said, we'll take another brief commercial break and we'll be back with Dr. Bernardo Ng of Sun Valley Behavioral and Sun Valley Research, and my co-host Berenice Flint and I will be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back to the show. As we continue with this very important topic on managing change and stress, we appreciate Dr. Ng, psychiatrist and director of Sun Valley Behavioral and Sun Valley Research, for the wealth of knowledge that he has provided us regarding this topic as far as managing change and identifying stress, what to do, how to go about it. And in this segment, I would like Dr. Ng for you to share with us any projects, anything that you would like for the community to know about that is being offered at Sun Valley.
Well, Berenice, thank you for your kind words and thank you for the opportunity to talk about the centers that I very proudly direct. So the first one, the oldest one, is Sun Valley Behavioral Medical Center. That's the full name of it. And it was founded in 1998. Man, we're going into, what's it going to be? 30 years in a couple of years. Okay. So that's an outpatient clinic. And we are offering services, psychiatric services. We have MDs, nurse practitioners, and we have therapists. So that's a very traditional setup. And we probably the most common complaint that we address is stress, right? And depending on people who may, because of stress, have developed either major depressive disorder or generalized anxiety disorder or other disorders, is the service that we provide that may start from therapy or counseling on an individual basis, couples therapies, family therapy. We're working on creating a group therapy track. We don't have it yet. We also do evaluations for people who may be candidates for medication. Okay. And again, medication is not the whole that fixes everything. But we're very good at that. And in the case of people with depression that been dealing with it for a long time, that they don't respond to the usual treatments, we offer a second level treatment. It's called transcranial magnetic stimulation. So it's a very cool treatment. It is consists of a magnetic coil, sort of like the ones on the MRI machine, but a way smaller one that is placed very strategically over your head, towards the left frontal part of your head, and it delivers pulses, magnetic pulses, so that it stimulates your brain and reactivates it. And depending where we put it, it either improves depression or decreases anxiety. It's been used for a lot of things, but the main FDA-approved indication is measured depressive disorder. And it's very, very cool because with that, some of our patients have been able to quit taking medications or have been able to go on less medications. The treatment lasts anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. The actual sessions last like anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. And it's very cool. You go in there, you sit down. It's like a couch. It reclines, and then we place that coil over your head, and it sounds like tuck, 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 tuck for 15, 20 minutes, and then you get up, go about the rest of your day. It's very cool. It's not sedating. It's nothing. It's very low risk. And so that's one of the treatments. We've had that for about 10 years already. This is the third machine that we got. This is way, way more soft as far as the pulses. The original machine that we had, the treatment lasted about 45 minutes. Then the second we had, it brought it down to 30 minutes. Now it's only 20, 22 minutes. So we're very happy. It's a brand new machine. And we also have another treatment.
Doctor, before you move on I have a couple questions regarding.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
As far as appropriate candidates for this, I know you mentioned typically it's more for individuals that have or they're diagnosed with major depressive disorders or some depressive disorders. Is there like an age?
Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. It is only approved for adults, so 18 and older. But any age, I mean, you could be 75, 85, and is still approved for use of that. For example, pregnant women is a great option because you can do without medication, or postpartum depression, people who prefer not to do medications because of that, it's an option. Or people that, because of other conditions, are taking a lot of medications. Other medications, like, diabetes medication, arthritis medication, and adding more medications for the psychiatric treatment becomes a challenge, then that's another option.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Very interesting. How far that has come.
I'm still
from the old school where it was a little bit different.
Well, actually, from the 60s, you're probably talking about electroconvulsive therapy. Mm-hmm. This is like a daughter of that because that one still exists, by the way. We don't have it in the county here, and it's still very effective, but it's more demanding to get that treatment. You need to go under sedation for a few minutes, and then there's a couple of hours of recovery before you can go home. And yeah, so this is very easy. Very easy. We have another treatment that was approved right before the pandemic. It's a spray. It's a nasal spray. I'm going to use the generic name for it. It's called Sketamine. I'm not going to say the brand name because we're on radio. But and that one is a little different. It's also for depression. And you use it twice a week for the first month. It actually works very fast. But that one, you have to spend 2 hours in the office and someone has to come pick you up, after the session because you're going to be drowsy for the rest of the day. So that's the only drawback. It's easier because it's not every day. It's only 2 days a week, but it's harder because that day it's hard that you're going to go back to work or something. But that brings me to another subject, because this sketamine, which is considered of the family of dissociative medications, has opened the door for new treatments that we're starting to do, that are being tested right now across the nation. I'm very proud to say that we have now a treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a psychedelic. So that's another word from the past where the research was put on hold because of people started misusing it. So now with way better controls and regulation is being used. So for those who been diagnosed with PTSD and have tried other treatments that haven't worked, let us know. It's very cool. This is very sophisticated. You get the treatment, but it comes with a 4 to 6 hour a therapy session in a day. It's very interesting. We're very lucky that we're able to offer this, which is the future for treatment for PTSD. And we're hoping to get another trial or another treatment option for depression also with a similar model where you spend 4 to 6 hours constant therapy where two therapists are sitting down there with you. It's climate controlled, low lights, you take the medication and then you go through the treatment. Very advanced because we think that in another 3 or probably 5 years it's going to be available across the nation, but right now we have it. And so people who might be interested in that, let us know.
Very intense, sounds like, right? Very.
So what other services does, I know that you have a multitude of services, but what other services does Sun Valley Behavioral have? Any, your clinical trials or?
Yeah, the part that does the clinical trials is Sun Valley Research Center. Another thing that is not related to stress, but we have now been contracted to do trials on Alzheimer's disease. As you know, the new thing is to use antibodies that some of them are IV. We already have that running right now. So people who are very early in the disease, and by the way, I was very delighted to be in a town hall meeting a few weeks ago put by the Alzheimer's Association, and we heard that some people don't have the access or the way to get all the testing done to get the treatment. Well, if you come to one of our clinical trials, it's completely free. So there's a blood test now that tells you with about 90% certainty that if you're having some memory problems, it is from Alzheimer's or not. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a blood test. It's amazing. Now, in order to confirm the 100%, you need to go get a PET scan. And that's a very sophisticated scan that is not available here in the Valley. Well, our center, if you move through the steps and you are at the point that you need the PET scan, we'll pay for your way to go to San Diego to get the PET scan done. And if that shows to be positive, then we give you the treatment, all totally free. And that's been one of my joys that since 2008 when we started the clinical trial site to offer modern treatments that are not even available in the pharmacy yet and totally free. So that's what we got. We got also treatments, trials for ADHD, others for depression with different medications, anxiety, migraine. So come talk to us, visit us. So you can find us on a website for the research site is sunvalleyr.com, sunvalleyr.com. And for the behavioral clinic, it's the same, but it's sunvalleyb.com. And you can contact us. There's our phone numbers there. You can write us through the website. And for those that are on social media, you can find me on Dr. Bernardo Ng, Dr. Bernardo Ng, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook.
And would you care to share your phone number for your office with us?
Of course. For the research site is 760-545-0123, Sun Valley Research Center. And for the behavioral site is 760-355-0161, Sun Valley Behavioral Medical Center.
And your address?
2417 Marshall Avenue in Imperial.
Well, you know, we're getting to the end of our show here, and you know, I've known Dr. Ng for quite some time, and
don't say it, Patricia. Don't say it.
But you have always been such a great inspiration to me and to, you know, my colleagues here at Behavioral Health, and all the research and all the studies that you're doing and all the giving back to the community that you do, and helping people help themselves, which is, you know, a great thing that you're doing by doing these clinical trials and getting these people to these PET scans and doing things to help the community. And that is so terrific.
And that's our commitment.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And we really want to thank you. And we're coming to the end of our show. We really want to thank Dr. Bernardo Ng, psychiatrist, medical director of Sun Valley Behavioral and Sun Valley Research, for being here with us today and talking to us about changing and stress and how it affects us, how it affects our bodies, and how it affects our families and our loved ones too. So with that said, my co-host Berenice Flint and I bid you adieu, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte-Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.